The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Telly time with Joe Shane, Jennifer Gannon. And tonight is when a national institution has its annual outing, the Late Late Toy Show. But how are they going to manage it without a live audience? Joe Shea, I think you've been looking into this for us. What are they going to be able to do?
Actually, it's funny, Matt, because, you know, everybody's looking forward to seeing this. It was 1.5 million people watched it last year. Probably going to be more tonight. It's going to, we know a lot about it already, and that's unusual for the Late Late Show in general and unusual for a toy show. What they are going to do is they're going to have, they've already filmed some musical inserts and guest inserts. They're going to have, I hear, two very special guests, internationally famous special guests, who may have pre-recorded something already. They're also going to do Zoom calls with Irish people and families around the world. They're going to have no studio audience, but they will have kids in the studio as normal, socially distanced, demonstrating the toys and talking about them. They're also going to use most of the campus in RTE for some of the musical acts and, you know, school performances by groups of kids in different parts. So you could even see somebody, a group of kids performing a song in the RTE canteen or elsewhere on the campus. It's going to be very difficult for them. And Ryan Turbury said earlier this week that they almost thought it would be impossible because it's a major logistical challenge, and they also have to protect the health of everybody involved. So it's going to look unusual, but I think people are going to love it, and I think people are going to watch it, and I think we're going to see Ryan Turbury do two musical acts, including a very special song to start off the night. The theme is Roald Dahl, so apparently it's going to be a very famous song from Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka, the film from 1971 that was such a huge part of people's kids who grew up in the 70s and 80s life. So it's going to be fascinating to see how they do it. It's a huge challenge, but I think it's going to be well worth watching.
Okay, because Jennifer Gannon, it is fair to say, I think, isn't it, that there is always this massive expectation upon the producers and Ryan Tubridy as presenter.
Yeah, I mean, I love how in this country, like, Micheál Martin had to assure the entire nation that his address about the COVID situation would not interfere with everyone's toy show viewing. Like, our priorities are looking at some child from Galway complaining about the quality of the box of slime that he got. And that's as it should be. I think it's just this huge unifying thing for the country. And it's actually such an oddity. Like, there's no other show like it around the world. And I think it just generates this feeling of goodwill that can't be replicated anywhere else. So I think it would be a shame to see something like the toy show have to have limitations on itself. And I think they're really trying their hardest to keep it as normal as possible. And they said one of the themes will, in the evening, is going to be like connecting families who have been kept apart by COVID. So I think everyone should be prepared to get a little bit emotional about it. And I think that's what it's going to be like tonight, a kind of emotional toy show.
It is usually the most watched television programme of the year, isn't it, Jennifer?
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, it's just like thousands upon thousands of viewers. It is a national institution, as you said, like, and that's what it's about. Like, this time of year is about, you know, families gathering together to watch the toy show. And I think, you know, even adults, like, kid-free adults watch it as well, just to have that sense of nostalgia and being connected.
I suppose I've gone through with my children watching it over the years, but now that they've got to an age where they're no longer interested in it, I have to admit, I'd probably be watching something else tonight. I'm not that interested in other people's children performing. I went through enough school plays over the years and school concerts to have my fill of that.
Yeah, I'll be the same, man. I won't be like, my daughter's 4, so what I'll probably do is I'll watch it and maybe watch it with her in the morning. I'm not sure how interested she's going to be in it. But the interesting thing today is I picked her up from her preschool today, and it was all she wanted to talk about. She kept talking about the toy show is on TV and there's the man who plays with the toys and we have to watch it, and everybody's staying up to watch it. So that'll tell you, I mean, she's 4 years of age. She has no idea who Ryan Turbridge is. She's no idea about RT or whatever. But she knew that there was this thing called the toy show and everybody watched it and we have to watch it, and can I stay up tonight?
Sorry, Jennifer, you were going to say something there on that, were you?
Literally was just going to say, usually you'll get the highlights tomorrow. So even if you don't actually have to watch it tonight, the full whack, you can get the good bits tomorrow, as in if there has to be some child that will be disgusted with something and they will be a national celebrity for at least the next couple of months.
Okay, let's talk about other things. I see, Jennifer, I'll go to you on this, that BBC is going to make a special documentary on Marcus Rashford's child-fueled poverty crusade, which I think has been one of the most inspiring things to come out of Britain this year.
Yeah, I mean, even if, like, it's very funny because it's the BBC and we've heard the big clampdown that they've had on people, you know, their own journalists, like, talking about stuff on social media, which is very interesting to me because Marcus Rashford is such a big supporter of trying to refocus the government's attention on child food poverty. And as we know, the Tory party aren't huge fans of that at all. So this is really interesting that the BBC are putting their full weight behind this. And it's going to be a 60-minute film. And he's only 23 when you think about it. He's so young to be doing this. And he's going to be presented with also the Sports Personality of the Year award for his campaign, which I just think is just remarkable for somebody, because we know, you know, there is this whole stream of thought about footballers being, you know, the youngest, maybe the stupidest millionaires that the UK has. And to see somebody as intelligent and as passionate and as empathetic as he is just, I just think it's a really wonderful thing to see. And it really is so inspiring. And it should inspire other footballers that we see that have this massive amount of money to actually get involved with these things that matter, that truly matter when it comes to
fairness,
the country.
In fairness, there's been quite a lot of footballers in England have done a lot of good things this year in relation to supporting local communities and other employees at their clubs who earn less money. I think there's been a lot of good seen in a lot of particular places. And I mention it, it's not something we plan to bring up on the show tonight, but if you haven't seen Gary Lineker's tribute to Diego Maradona, which was on BT the other night when they were talking before one of the games, it was online on Twitter. I must retweet it again because it was some of the best television. Gary Lineker was tremendous in the way that he spoke about Diego Maradona. Now, one of the big hits of the year, I think, and one that you recommended to us, has been The Queen's Gambit. Is the one that a lot of people are talking about as distinct from The Crown at present. Let's just hear the trailer from The Queen's Gambit.
Men are going to come along and want to teach you things. Doesn't make them any smarter. You just let them blow by, and you go on ahead and do just what and how you feel like. Someday you're going to be all alone, so you need to figure out how to take care of yourself.
Tell the readers of life how it feels and to be a girl among all those men.
I don't mind it. Chess isn't always competitive. Chess can also be beautiful.
You're an orphan, Beth.
I'm fine being alone. I feel safe in an entire world of just 64 squares.
Creativity and psychosis often go hand in hand. Or for that matter, genius and madness.
It's not based on a true story or anything like that. It's based on a novel. But Joe Shea, have you had a chance to watch it yet?
I dipped into it and it looked so good and people were talking, raving about it so well that what I'm doing is I'm going to save it up. I've got some time off coming up and I'm going to savour it because it looks absolutely fantastic. It's 70, Netflix don't tend to release figures unless they have a massive, massive hit in their hands. And The Queen's Gambit has shown the power that Netflix has to kind of, you know, create something that goes beyond TV, that becomes part of kind of the moment or the cultural zeitgeist at the moment. So 62 million people, households have downloaded this in 28 days. And it's been in the Netflix top 10 in Ireland and in another 92 countries around the world. It's such as if the phenomenon that Google are saying that people are searching how to play chess at an unprecedented rate that they've never seen before.
People see how long that lasts for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I could do that. I become a grandmaster. It looks easy enough. So
it's obviously Jennifer. Sorry, yeah. I wanted Jennifer, because you recommended this to us and you were right. You're responsible for these big numbers.
Even when it was recommended back in October, I knew it was going to be a hard sell. I thought it really was, because it's a drama about a chess prodigy, and it's kind of like, that doesn't sound very interesting. But when I saw the preview, I just knew that it would hit people in such a variety of different ways. You have the fact that it's a modern historical setting, so you've got these lush 1960s stylings, fashion-wise and interior-wise, so it gives you that hit like Mad Men did. And then the story itself is so gripping. I think we're all just blown away by how captivating the performance it is by Anya Taylor-Joy. She plays Beth. And chess is just this metaphor for showing her isolation as an orphan, but also her ambition, how she maneuvers her way through life, trying to anticipate her opponent's next move. And it's also really escapist. It's a fantasy, because you're going to random places like Kentucky, Cincinnati, Mexico and Moscow, and it's all gloriously, just beautifully designed. And I think it acts as a kind of fairy tale, or like something like Rocky, because you have like that old sports kind of maxim of true triumph over adversity, and we're all behind her in it. And I think, you know, when you're watching her battle against her demons within herself and move away from like this dark childhood that she has into achieving success, there's just this sense of the spirit of, you know, willing her to do this. And I think there's a lot of subtext in the writing as well about individualism and the unpredictability of life. And I think people are really gripping, like they're holding on to that, because, you know, we are also in this unpredictable phase of the world. And okay. I think I'm just really glad that people are discovering it though and enjoying it.
It's based on a novel by the guy who wrote The Hustler and The Color of Money. He wrote it in 1983 and died a year later. And apparently he had a big engagement in chess himself, but also dealt with issues with alcoholism. It's a fascinating backstory as well. Listen, we better get picks of the week. Joe, what's your pick of the week, please?
Matt, I'm not sure if it's going to be on your must-watch list, but seeing as everybody's watching The Crown at the moment, Channel 4, Monday at 9 p.m, A Very Royal Christmas, right? So it's basically a look at the... I anticipated some pushback on this from you, Matt, to be honest with you. But listen, and I actually love The Crown, and I didn't expect to like it as much as I did.
So do I.
Yeah, well, this is the real thing. You know, they're going to be looking at how the royal family spend their Christmas, what the gifts they give each other, kind of historical traditions that they have. And that
No. It's all right in drama in The Crown.
I haven't persuaded you.
All right, for others who might be interested, where is it on? Where can you see it?
It's on Channel 4, Monday, 9 p.m. And I know you're going to be watching it, Matt. You're just putting this on.
Yeah, right. Jennifer, what are you recommending?
If you don't want to watch the Toy Show tonight, you can tune into Sky Documentaries or Now TV from 9 and watch the documentary about John Belushi, who I think most people will remember from The Blues Brothers and Animal House. And he died tragically of a drug overdose at age 33. So this documentary is made by the esteemed director, Orjay Cutler. He was responsible for the Vogue expose, the September issue. And it really delves behind the myth of this comedian and tries to piece together who he was. And it's told through first-hand accounts from his friends and his colleagues and his wife, and through old diary entries and letters which are read by the comedian Bill Hader. And I watched it during the week, and I really loved fact that it was more about how he was this really deep thinker from an immigrant family who was a dreamer but had this steely ambition. But it's not a hagiography. It deals with how his ego got out of control when he started on Saturday Night Live, and how he actually tormented a lot of the staff, especially the women. And you have a female, one of the Saturday Night Live comedians, Jane Curtin, coming out to say that he actually did not respect women, did not think they were funny at all, and hated the female writers. So it's really interesting that it shows this other side of him and shows this rapid descent into drug addiction. And I think anybody who's a fan of his comedy and wants to know more about him, it's a really essential watch.
Jennifer Gannon, Joe Shea-Zara, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.